From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, we're counting down to Game Week 3. Will Sun reign again? Is Havertz a must-have? Is it all over for Oba? Plus, we've got the Game Week 3 armband choices that aren't too armful in this official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Thanks so much for joining us. Game Week 3 is looming, but don't worry, we've lined up a choice panel to discuss it today. We have with us a French journalist and a Fantasy Manager extraordinaire, Julien Laurence.
Bonjour, James. Hi, everyone.
Bonjour, Jules. Broadcaster and sometimes host of this show, Kelly Summers.
Hello, James. Good to be back.
Lovely to have you, Kelly. And FPL legend and four-time top 1,000 finisher making his debut on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast, Mark Southerns. Hello, Mark.
Hi, James. Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to this.
Wow. Bringing a touch of class to proceedings. Meantime, I'm your host, listener, James Richardson, and I am on a wild card. Are you? Lots of people are. There's about 500,000 of us. We've all very, very wisely and in no sense in a mood of panic, pressed the wild card button and are redoing our teams after only two rounds of action. What do you think of that, Mark?
I mean, if your team, you know when it's right to play the wild card. You just know, you get a gut feeling. But for me, it's too early because I don't think I've got the mental capacity to pick another 15 players. It was so hard for game week one. I don't want to put myself through it again this early. I want a bit more data and kind of chill out a bit and have a few game weeks go by.
Right. I must admit, I did panic a bit and I do feel a bit bad about it. But then I only got 39 points in game week two. Can you imagine, Kelly?
I thought maybe you'd come to me next. Yes, James, I didn't have a very good game week either. I actually got less than that as well. I've also, like Mark, not wildcarded. I hovered over the button. It would have been the earliest I'd have ever even considered doing it. But I decided that, like Mark, I wanted to know a little bit more. I wanted to give the likes of Che Adams another week or so. I may be mad. Yeah, I really want to see if I can get to the international break when we know a little bit more about teams. The transfer window will nearly be over. But don't get me wrong, I could still do it a week early. It's last chance saloon for a lot of players in my team.
I see. Your team is Keen as Mustard. Very nice. Name that.
Yeah, it's spelt Q-U-I-N-A-S. Domingos Quina, highly rated midfielder in the Watford midfield. But similar to me and my FPL team, hasn't actually had the best of starts to the season, so it's actually quite an apt name.
Right. Although you got 2 points more than the legendary Mark Southerns this week. Mark Southerns come for only 35 points.
Yeah, and a four-point hit as well. I mean, it wasn't a regular week, let's face it. Record-breaking week for Premier League goals. So it was a bit of an outlier. You can't legislate for things that happen, like the Sun 4 goals at Southampton. That was quite extraordinary. And the promoted teams are letting in goals left, right and centre. I just didn't have the right players. But I look at my team and I think I didn't make too many mistakes and I'm quite happy with it. So I'm quite calm. It's early days. I'm not wildcarding yet.
A lot of the biggest figures in the game struggling with their points tallies last weekend. But the funny thing is the average was actually really high worldwide. Average points per team, 59 points. Who on earth got all of those? Jules, was it you?
Well, I feel a bit like Leo Messi today, to be fair, with this panel, because between the three of you, 35, 37, 39, this is just like League 2 level, and I'm 76. I don't know what happened with... I mean, Mark is new to this game. Oh, hang on, no. I mean, I just thought that the high line of Southampton would get absolutely thrashed by Spurs and Kane and Son. That's why I left Kane as captain. But saying that, I never thought we would see what we saw in that game with the four assists and the goal and then the four goals for Son either. So I got a bit lucky there. But yeah, my faith in Kane got me a lot of points.
Right, you captained him. You got 42 points.
So that's more than all of you, right? Is that right? Oh, yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, you get points off though, Jules, for still using the team name Murder on Zidane's Floor.
That's a good one.
Well, it's kind of an old one.
From Mrs. L as well, so I can't take the credit.
All right. Well, listen, so now you successfully identified what was going to happen in game week two, and it'd be great to hear your thoughts on how game week three is going to pan out. One or two of the kind of major FPL talking points from the last round of fixtures was this whole business of managers leaving Sun Heung-min and going for Bruno Fernandes, which made a lot of sense before the football was actually played. About 500,000 managers got rid of the one and about 500,000 managers brought in the other. Now that we've actually seen Man United play, and now that we've seen Fernandes with a lot more defensive responsibilities apparently this season, what do we do with him and with the other Man United assets?
Yeah, James, I did the dreaded transfer that so many managers did. I bought in Fernandes for Son last week. Fortunately, I didn't take a hit, unlike others. But I did bring in Fernandes and was incredibly worried watching him, especially when Van de Beek came on, because he did drop deeper. So it will be interesting. That's another reason I haven't wildcarded as well, because I want to see how he gets on at Brighton, see if that's a long-term kind of positional change. But of course, he's also on penalties still as well. So he is still attractive, but the next few weeks are going to be really interesting as to whether he stays in my team long-term.
Mm. Mark, what's your view on Man United assets?
Yeah, I went into the game week without them and I was very nervous about it. And I watched that Palace game and I was delighted with the performance that they put on, and not utterly surprised with United, because we hadn't seen them play and their pre-season was a bit bitty. A lot of players coming back at irregular times. Bruno came back late. So I did worry that they wouldn't gel immediately. But I think it's only a matter of time before they click. I mean, the quality they've got. And Brighton's always seen as a good fixture, isn't it, for them? And Bruno did well there last season, I seem to remember, because I had him in that game. And Brighton will let you play. I think it's going to be a very interesting fixture, that. And I think, you know, there's a lot of Man United players being shipped out again now. I think there's going to be a bit of hokey-cokey going on with their players. I think they'll be coming back in again in a week or so's time.
Is Bruno going to be this week's Son Heung-min? What do you think, Jules?
I think that the win against Luton in the Carabao Cup was really good for Rashford and Greenwood, for example, to come out. Let's not forget that the Palace game was the first game of the season. As Mark rightly said, they hardly trained all together, to be fair. And certainly fitness-wise, they didn't look ready. I think they were just a bit slow to get into the game anyway. I think the midweek game would have helped a lot. People like Rashford and Greenwood, even if they just played a little bit, scoring is always a big boost. So you could see them against a Brighton team that will play, because that's what they do, they play. You could see United having space, going back on that counter-attack style that worked so well for them after restart last season. And Bruno, Rashford, Martial even having a much better game than they had against Palace, surely.
Mm. Do you have any Man United assets?
Not yet, but because I didn't want to put them week one because they were obviously not playing. Then week two, I thought that game was too early against Palace. And then now I'm thinking Martial, from the echo I have, is in really good form of training. And you know, that those extra days training and fitness work would have done him a lot of good. So I'm tempted by Martial or Rashford to bring
him. Okay. By the way, if you'd like to compete with us, High Flyers as we are, in our FPL Pod mini league, the code is SMXYTY. Very good. Next up, let's have a look at some more of the Game Week 3 fixtures. Game Week 3, everybody. It begins Saturday lunchtime with Brighton's clash against Man United, and it concludes in fine fashion on Monday night with Liverpool's game against Arsenal at Anfield. We'll talk more about that later on, part of a difficult run of fixtures for the Gunners and what that means for the likes of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. But let's begin our look at Game Week 3 with the clash, the top of the table clash, actually, between Man City and current league leaders Leicester. Jules?
Yes, I think it's a fascinating one. City have won the last three positions with encounters with Leicester, but before that, we've always seen a Leicester team, a bit like Wolves really, who have all the tools to trouble the high line of City, or the possession game by City, playing quickly on the counter attack. Vardy has a very good record against City. He scored 5 and assisted 1 in the last 8 games. He had that famous hat-trick against them. Not many players have scored a hat-trick against a Pep Guardiola team. So again, I think the contrast in the styles would be very interesting. And I think a player like Vardy could have a really good game. And then Kevin De Bruyne as well, after we saw what he could do on Monday, already really, really in good form.
Right. The big breaking news on this Thursday is Brendan Rodgers, Leicester manager, saying that Wilfred Ndidi could be missing for Leicester for anywhere between 6 and 12 weeks. Given the way Leicester's form came apart when Ndidi was missing last season, does this now mean that the likes of Vardy and the other Leicester players are kind of out of bounds for us? Mark, what's your take?
I think that's a big worry. I mean, defensively, a lot of people are on James Justin, and, he's been very popular. He got the goal, obviously, at the weekend. But I think if you're holding him, you're going to be worried about Ndidi's injury, because he was playing centre back. But even if, you know, he's going to move into midfield when Evans is fit, and that's going to be a huge loss to them. And going to City without Ndidi is a big concern. I mean, City were incredibly impressive against Wolves compared to United. I mean, their level of fitness was astonishing, I thought. And yeah, there's a chance that City will blow them away. I don't think they will. I think Rodgers, as a manager, will shore it up, and I think he'll keep the score down, but it's got to be a City victory for me.
Okay. Which City assets then, if we're figuring points for them, would we be piling in on? KDB the most popular choice? Are some people opting for Phil Foden because he's cheap and he scores goals now?
For me, I think Kevin De Bruyne is still the obvious choice. I thought it was interesting watching him. I was at the game against Wolves and he was kind of playing in a bit more of a number 10 role. Of course, he's on penalties as well. And the fact that he got 13 points against Wolves, a defence that was the league's best since game week 25. He is the penalty taker. That's the fifth penalty in all competitions since Christmas. I just think the fact that he's got penalties, for me, is a reliable starter. He's worth that extra money. But Phil Foden, as I said, wildcard, maybe in a few weeks, could be someone to look at if he keeps his place in the team regularly.
Foden is 6.5, which is still astonishingly cheap for a Man City asset, especially given the returns that he's had of late. He is starting regularly. He's also scoring goals, certainly the end of last season, very, very promising in terms of potential points returns there. Are we doubling up on City? I myself at the moment have Kevin De Bruyne because it's a bit of a, you know, no-brainer, a no-brunner, you might say. But beyond him, who would you bring in from the citizens? Jules?
I think Foden is a great shout, especially as we saw tactically the evolution of that team already against Wolves, and they won't play with wingers anymore. Sterling would be quite central. Foden would be quite central with Gabriel Jesus, with De Bruyne as well, above the two pivot who would be Rodri and Gundogan or Rodri and Fernandinho or whoever. So I think that means Foden and Sterling far more involved even, I think, than any time before. So I would certainly go for City players. Depending on how much you can afford, I think Sterling would be very good very early this season again. I think Foden is good if you've got a bit less money to spend. But De Bruyne, as we've been saying, is obviously you have to bring him in your team. So KDB for sure, and then one of Sterling and Foden, depending on your budget, I think.
Okay. Kelly, you've earmarked Burnley Southampton for FPL.
Yeah, it's the one
managers
that everyone wanted to talk about, James. So I thought,
the sexy
luckily
games.
I've won this
always
race.
The sexy games with you. It's always, you know.
Well, this one is particularly interesting for my team, my underperforming team. And as I said, Last Chance Saloon. I can't believe I'm admitting this, tipped Southampton to kind of push for a top 10, maybe even European finish this season. I mean, the opening two game weeks have not gone to plan. So I've got Kyle Walker-Peters and I did the whole Che Adams over Danny Ings kind of thing. I've kept Che Adams this week because I thought he got in really good positions against Spurs. He scored four times after the restart and Ralph Hasenhüttl was still really positive about him. But this is kind of his Last Chance Saloon, pretty much. The same with Kyle Walker-Peters. But Chris Wood is the one that I think we all need to be watching in this. He scored against Leicester at the weekend. He scored in the last three starts of last season as well. And the fact that Southampton did chip five against Spurs means that he could be a really interesting asset. He's only 6.5 million as well. Burnley may be injury hit, so there's not too many nice options, but he's definitely one I think we should be looking at.
Okay, Chris Wood, such a reliable points provider in the FPL business. Mark, Crystal Palace Everton has caught your eye.
Yeah, I mainly because Palace yet again could really influence FPL managers' decisions here. They did so against United. Obviously, we've gone off United players on the back of that performance at Old Trafford with Palace defending so resolutely. And I think it could be the same with Everton. A lot of people getting on Calvert-Lewin. He's the most signed. Rodriguez is the third most signed going into the game week. But Palace is a real test for them. I think that, you know, you've got to think that Sacco will handle Calvert-Lewin quite well. And I think McCarthy and MacArthur in midfield won't give Rodriguez time and space that he got against West Brom. So I think that Everton could struggle at Palace. And I think that will obviously change the market. It will mean that we're not so keen on Calvert-Lewin and Rodriguez. It's so fickle. And yet again, Palace will be to blame. So I think it's a very interesting game.
Would you invest in any of the Palace players?
Well, Zaha is tempting, but is he going to play in that role long term? Because they've got Batshuayi, they're fishing around for Brewster as well. They've already got Ayew. So I don't know how long Zaha's going to remain central. if he goes out wide, we know that he's patchy, and it's really hard to predict when he returns. While he's playing up front and in the form he's in, he's firing, of course, but then what happens after deadline day, that they'll see what happens then, because obviously his future is very much a topic of discussion. And I think he's hot now, but in a couple of weeks' time, we'll see.
He's got 3 goals in the opening 2 games. He's priced at 7.1 million. He's a midfielder who scores goals, and there are good fixtures ahead for Palace. So it may be a risk that plenty of people want to take. Well, elsewhere, there are interesting fixtures ahead for Wolves at West Ham, Arsenal, as we mentioned, at Anfield, and Chelsea are visiting West Brom. We'll be coming on to those games in the course of today's show, though. And next up, we're going to be looking at slightly more long-term plans in the long view. The long view, listener. As you know, each week we like to use the Premier League's fixture difficulty ranking to take a look at who has the most favourable run of games coming up in coming weeks. I'm always on this, and it's become a little bit more accessible, the FDR chart, this season. You can get it on your phone now, on the app on the phone, and also it's continually updated on the PremierLeague.com website. Basically, it just lists the games coming up, colour-codes them for how difficult or not they are, so you can immediately see who's got, like Wolves, for example, a really, really, really appetising set of fixtures coming up. Wolves in the next 6, away at West Ham, then they have Fulham, then they have Leeds, Newcastle, Crystal Palace, and then the final game of the 6 is away at Leicester, which is a bit more tricky. But in the meantime, Wolves players, let's get them in. Who should we be buying from the Molineux crowd?
Well, James, I would bring in Raul Jimenez, but 8.5 million at the moment, given the balance of my team, just doesn't quite work. He's probably someone I'll consider on a wild card because he will start week in, week out. But of course, there's a new look Wolves front three this season with Diogo Jota going. Daniel Podence is really nice at 5.5 million, the perfect replacement for Alan St-Maximin. I've done that move. I've taken a -4 for him, which was a tricky decision when you have as few points as I have. But the fact that he was making such brilliant runs, he was kind of drifting in from the flanks, and he's got 2 attacking returns in 2 already, a really nice partnership forming between him and Jimenez. I am a little bit worried with Wolves' signings that maybe he won't start every week, but as we know, when players are in form, it makes them very hard to drop, and he's very much in form at the minute.
And Nuno Espirito Santo, manager with considerable amount of loyalty for a starting 11 when it's working. All right, who've you got, Mark?
I've got Podence as well. He came in for a hit this week ahead of game week 3 at West Ham. Like Kelly says, he's showing the form, and it just looks a good combination, him and Jimenez up front. Podence offers more pace to buzz around Jimenez. And I think with Semedo signing, Traore is probably going to be pushed up as part of the front three as well. So they're going to be flanking Jimenez. That scares the life out of me. I mean, I may well go Traore as well. I can't go Jimenez because I want to hold Werner. And I think Werner deserves time. At the start of the season, I looked at these next 3 fixtures for him. West Brom, Crystal Palace at home, Southampton at home, and felt I needed him for these 3. So I've got to hold him for that. But if he doesn't deliver over those 3, I'll be getting Jimenez in as well, because he's a player who doesn't get enough recognition from FPL managers. He always delivers, but he's never seen as a star. But I think looking back on these next 5 game weeks, he is going to deliver 4 or 5 goals for sure.
I think one of the issues with Jimenez is the fact that when people look at his shots tallies, they're usually so low that people think that he can't possibly sustain this level of goal scoring. He just doesn't have enough chances. But he continues to be one of the Premier League's, the Fantasy Premier League's top scorers. Jules, a wise man, who should we have from Wolves?
I'm all in for Podence as well. I think I will bring him in. If you remember, and I'm sure the listeners would, when he signed from Olympiacos, we mentioned how impressive he was when he played against Spurs in the Champions League, and he needed a bit of time to adapt. But now I think he's adapted, and he will be fantastic for them this season with in that front three, like Mark was describing. And I think as well, defensively, you know, Connor Cody, Romain Saïss, those players, I think, could bring you a lot of points as well, because Wolves would be solid. I mean, that was City, and everybody will struggle defensively against City. But I think now with the fixture that we have coming forward, I think bringing one of their defenders would be a really good move.
I'm in the market for a Wolves defender myself, so just bear with me, listener. Who should I be getting?
I think you've got to see Asamado settles, haven't you? I mean, he could be the one, because he's going to be in the Doherty role, and if he's anywhere near as profitable as Doherty, then he's going to be one to get. I presume he's going to come in around 5-5, hopefully. On the left side, you've got Vinagre competing with Marcel, haven't you? So right. That's more difficult to read.
And Marcel seems to have the edge at the moment. Just on the subject of Semedo, Jules, you're not a fan. Briefly, any words you'd say to FPL managers considering getting him in?
Yeah, just watch again the Bayern Munich game.
I take it.
I know, but it was Semedo defending. That was one of the worst performances I've ever seen. And I think the setup and the formation at Wolves is much better for him than the back four at Barcelona. But I would not for now. Let's have a look and then we decide.
Okay, very diplomatically put. Meanwhile, at the other end of the spectrum, as regards a difficulty of upcoming fixtures, or West Ham, who we mentioned in the past, but also Arsenal now after those more amenable opening two games of the season. They've got Liverpool next, then Sheffield United, then Manchester City, then Leicester, then Man United, before things get a little bit more approachable with Aston Villa. What does this mean for the hundreds of thousands of managers who have Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and have been happily captaining him thus far, and indeed any other of the Arsenal assets? Should we hang on to any of them? Is Aubameyang fixture-proof? What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, he could punish us easily. I mean, the quality he's got, he can score goals against any defence. But I think when we picked him in our initial lineups, he was always the placeholder for the City assets to come in at this point. And so I think if we stick to that plan, I don't think we're going to get punished, because I think City are going to be so good that even with Aubameyang getting goals over the next run, it's still going to be profitable to make the switch to a City player. So I think it is time to get rid. I think up until game week 8, the fixtures are very, very tough indeed. Arteta is more pragmatic as a manager. I think, you know, he's going to try and contain opponents. He's trying to manage games. So I don't see too many goals for Arsenal in those games. But if there are goals for them, it'll be Aubameyang who gets
it. And he does
it.
Have a terrific record at scoring goals against the big side. So there's no reason why he shouldn't continue this run, even if Arsenal aren't necessarily picking up results. Does anyone disagree with Mark? Would anyone hang on to Aubameyang?
I think while City are playing as they did, particularly in that first half on Monday, because of the price of Aubameyang, that was the main thing for me. I just couldn't keep him for another week. And as you said then, James, I was looking at the statistics around these games. The next five fixtures, they face teams who finished in the top half last season. And in the 9 meetings against these 5 clubs last season, Aubameyang did only score 2 goals and 1 assist. Yes, that's returns, but for a 12 million player, I just think I'd bank on the likes of De Bruyne or Sterling registering more points across 5 fixtures.
Wow, that's a compelling case you make, Kelly. All right, then. Let's move on.
It's because I'm trying
then.
To convince myself.
Let's move on then to this week's Twitter question, which is, after 3 hat-tricks in the first 2 game weeks of this season, who's going to be the next player to bag one? This week's Wednesday tweet is, with 3 hat-tricks in 2 game weeks, who's going to be the next player to score 3 in a single match? We've had Son, we've had Dominic Calvert-Lewin, we've had Mo Salah bagging 3, taking the match day ball home. Who's it going to be this time? Loads of answers via the hashtag FPL pod. Manolo says, I really see Bamford, underrated player. Big Kazzy says, Son will bag another 4 this game week, and if he doesn't, I'm going to cry. Ryan says, my FPL team is begging for it to be Werner or Dominic Calvert-Lewin again. And Jordan says, Timo against West Brom. Well, just first off, Bamford, that's quite a left field choice. But he is doing way better than I think most people predicted Patrick Bamford for Leeds.
But again, it's what we said in the preview that we did. They were always going to score loads of goals and always created loads of chances. And we didn't think Bamford would do so well because he had never been that clinical. But now when you see them play and you know they're going to concede loads and you know they're going to score loads, and he would be at the forefront of that. And I think it could be a wise move to bring him on, although they have also tough fixtures coming on. But you could also look at, you know, Klitsch from midfield, for example, who will go forward so much. I think there's a lot of their players who are really, really interesting.
As you say, difficult fixtures. They're away to Sheffield United this weekend, then Man City, Wolves, Aston Villa, then Leicester and Crystal Palace. So not the worst, but certainly if he can score in those, he'll definitely be worth consideration. The consensus otherwise, though, seems to be that Timo Werner is ripe to break his Premier League duck. They are away, Chelsea, at West Brom this weekend, who defensively don't look the most solid. And Werner, although he hasn't actually scored, has looked really lively so far.
Yeah, I think this is his big opportunity. I think Frank Lampard will be looking at this fixture and going, this is the one where Werner gets on the score sheet and gets going. We saw Havertz in midweek do the same in get with a hat-trick. And I think Timo will fancy it. West Brom's defence, statistically, looks to be the most vulnerable. I mean, obviously, they lost Gibbs at Everton, and Everton are in confident form, so perhaps that's not a fixture to go on. But I don't think there's any doubt Chelsea are going to create chances, and I think Werner will get off the mark. Whether it'll be a hat-trick, I think that's going a bit far, but I think when Pulisic is back in the team, that's when we'll see Werner more likely to get hat-tricks, but I think he's going to get at least one.
What of Kai Havertz, who, as you say, did bag a hat-trick himself in the League Cup win over Barnsley midweek? Are you now, a lot of managers started off with him in the team, and we've seen 500,000 plus managers getting rid of Timo Werner this week ahead of the West Brom game, which is quite a surprise. What about Havertz? Is it worth hanging on to him or even thinking about bringing him in? Any of you tempted or have him already?
I don't have him. I like Mark, I have Timo Werner, and the other reason I didn't wildcard is I wanted him for this fixture. Depending on how he does against West Brom, potentially there's other forwards like Jimenez that I mentioned that I'd like to bring in, and then I would look at another Chelsea midfielder, but I just don't quite know how they're going to play at the moment, who Frank's going to go for. But Kai Havertz's performance, yes, it was only against Barnsley, definitely should, if you've got him, keep him. But I think the Chelsea midfield for me at the moment is still a case of monitoring it and seeing where the majority of the points are going to come from.
Who has Werner at the moment then? Mark, you do. Kelly, you do. Jules?
Not yet, but I will certainly bring in a forward, I think, this week. I still have my 2 free transfers, so that is definitely on my list.
76 points and 2 free transfers.
Yeah, that's how you manage a team.
Maybe so. I find transfers to be a double-edged sword. All right, well, any other candidates you think to score big in game week 3?
I wouldn't discount some Aston Villa assets scoring against Fulham as well, because I thought they looked pretty good against Sheffield United, obviously eventually found the breakthrough. I don't think they're going to get a hat trick, but I think Fulham's defence, like West Brom, is pretty shaky. I'm sorry to say that again. It does feel like we're repeating ourselves from when they were in the league a couple of years ago. So I think Fulham Aston Villa is a game to look at as well. Mark, I know you've got Jack Grealish.
Yeah, I've got to fancy him in that game. I mean, it was interesting against Sheffield United. I thought when they went down to 10 men, it might, you know, give Grealish more time and space to actually exploit. But it actually worked to the reverse. I mean, Basham got moved out to the right and Grealish got shut down until the last half an hour when the goal went in. Sheffield United came out and then Grealish could have got 2 or 3 goals. I was unfortunate. And you've got to think at Fulham, I don't think Fulham will be as effective closing him down. I mean, obviously they're going to target him as a threat because he is. But I don't think they've got the players to shut him down like Sheffield United did. So I think Grealish will come out with something. We'll see what that... If he's on penalties, then it could be a big return. But I think I'll get at least an assist out of that game.
Liverpool coming up the week after the Fulham game for Villa. So just bear that one in mind. All right. Well, in a second or two, we'll take a look at the finishing touches everyone's making to their teams ahead of Saturday's deadline. And of course, checking on who they're going to give the armband to. Captains and transfers. Jules, you said you got 2 free transfers and you're going to bring in a forward. Who's it going to be?
So it's still. I haven't decided yet. I want to see the games tonight. I want to see Liverpool play. I want to see City play as well. I don't want any injuries or things like this. And I want to take my time as well. Always leave it late to pick who you transfer and who you bring in. But as we said, Werner, Podence, Cody, we mentioned Bamford, Neil Mopay. I like Neil Mopay a lot. And I think against United, because they're so, I mean, defensively, they were so bad against Crystal Palace that I think Mopay could have an interesting role to play. And he's only owned by 2.2% of the managers. So in terms of differential, it could be an interesting one. So there's a few things in my head, Phil Foden as well. So I'll decide a bit later, but it'd be one of them.
Right. If you're an FPL asset and you weren't mentioned by Jules in that answer, you've got to worry about it. So. okay, we'll come to your captain's pick in a second. Mark, are you looking? You've already done your transfers for this week.
Yeah, nice and early. I got Podence before the rise. KDB was going to go up in value as well after that performance and the fact he's on penalties. So those two were probably the easiest transfers I'll make this season. I can't think of any more straightforward. I think Podence at West Ham, they'll get something there. Whether Podence will be in the points, we'll see. I think there's a chance. He's returned in both games so far. And who knows what De Bruyne can do against Leicester. It depends how resolute Leicester prove on the day, but I'd expect some return from him.
All right, and a similar approach from you, Kelly.
Yeah, you can just copy and paste what Mark just said there for me, because I also took minus four points hit to bring in De Bruyne and Podence for exactly the same players. The biggest change for me this week is, though, it's taken me three game weeks and I've realised that teams aren't defending in the Premier League this season, so I don't know why I've been playing a back four. So I've gone to a back three at long last. I'm going all out attack.
All right. Excellent. Who are you going to be handing the captain's armband to, Kelly?
I think it's going to be, well, it's been on Werner all week, actually, but now I've heard the news that Ndidi is going to be out. I think it has to go to Kevin De Bruyne because I think all of a sudden that swings that game even more in the favour of Manchester City. I could change my mind and go to Werner, but I think it's going to be KDB for me.
Right. I don't have Werner. I have a strong feeling about him this game week. Mark, will he be your captain?
Yeah, I'm going Werner. I've got some pro tips here because in the summer I did some soul searching, looked at my captains. Last season I really struggled with my captain. So in the summer I made contact with a guy called Sivert who came eighth in the world last season, Norwegian manager. And he got the highest points tally from his captains than any other manager in the game. So I've been talking to him and about his methods and he always picks on fixture and fixture alone. He doesn't go with player form. If a player like De Bruyne or Salah are playing a top six team, he won't go with them. He'll go with the player against with the easiest fixture. And for that reason, he's going Werner. And for that reason, I'm going Werner.
Excellent.
That could have just changed my mind, to be honest. That was very compelling.
Jules, try and change Kelly's mind again.
And for that reason, I'm sticking with Harry Kane, who is obviously at home to Newcastle and not going for KDB against Leicester. So I think Kane was so good as a captain last week. I think in that very pragmatic way of playing now under Mourinho, I think he will return a lot of points. So I keep him as captain.
Fabulous. Well, best of luck to you all. Remember, the deadline is 11 o'clock Saturday morning, UK time.
James, before we go, you know this is Mark's debut on the show.
Yeah, this is true.
And you know what happens when you make your debut, whether it's your first cap or your first call-up or... You need to sing. It's an initiation.
Whoa. This wasn't in the contract. What's going on? I didn't sign this.
And we won't ask you to stand up on the chair, on the table like they usually do. But I'm sorry. You know, even if it's like your favorite football team's song or favorite player or your, you know, well, God Save the Queen or La Marseillaise.
I think it's got to be a bit of Doreen and things can only get better, hasn't it, after last game week? Certainly that's the case for Kelly and myself as well, I think. So
Things. Here we go, Mark. Can only get better.
Can only get better.
Jules, what?
I don't know the song.
This is brilliant.
Is this true? Or are you making this up?
You've been completely stitched up, Mark.
I know, exactly, yeah. You're not going to put this in, of course, so that's fine.
No, of course we are, because it's the perfect way to end, because that's the message that we send out to FPL managers worldwide, whether you got 35 points or 76 or even more last game week. Best of luck in game week 3. The deadline is 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, UK time, so make sure your teams are in. By then, in the meantime, you can check out more FPL content like the FPL show over at PremierLeague.com. We, of course, will return next Thursday to review all the big lessons and prepare for game week 4. For now, though, it's many, many thanks to Minstrel Mark and Kelly and Jules. And we'll see you next week. Cheerio!